All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we're winding down here. Verses 19 through 26, Genesis 25, in the birth of the twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Two boys that could be no less different than light and darkness. In appearance, in regards to their personalities, as we brought out the most remarkable distinguished difference between them is actually in their DNA, and that Esau, God would withhold any of the DNA that identifies one as a Jewish or Hebrew race would not be found in Esau. That means that he wasn't even, you know, as you might expect from the same parent, having at least some facsimile or some DNA of the same, he wouldn't even have, you know, 164th DNA of Hebrew. Zilch, nothing. He is an Edomite. He is not Hebrew. 164th is my blood of Cherokee Indian and me. Like, that makes a lot of difference. Woo, 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 it could. But anyway. But, you know, not even that much. So, the language is pretty cool in how it describes that. And in that respect, we see that two peoples arise from this, if you will, almost single birth, as it happened immediately one after the other, with Jacob hanging on to the heel of his older brother Esau, and that, per the prophecy, Jacob would dominate, rule over Esau, recognizing that he would be quite clearly the primogenitor of the covenant promise in the line of Messiah, carrying on the Hebrew race, and his brother would be left out in the cold in that regards. And this has created, obviously, much conflict among the Arab world, those who claim to be of Esau's line, as well, and the Hebrew races in that regards. And the argument is that Esau had the firstborn, had that rice, and that Jacob stole it from him. But yet God permitted that event to occur, and he did not overturn it or withdraw the blessing that came from Isaac, because there the spiritual significance of the two individuals comes into play under the doctrine of foreknowledge and election, that Esau would remain in unbelief and Jacob would be a believer. Again, two contrasting distinct differences between these individuals. And we're closing out here these verses, point 96 again. While conflict still remains today as to the rights of primogeniture, the rights of inheritance of the firstborn, it's a custom that's been followed for centuries since the beginning of time. Being stolen from Esau by his younger twin, Romans 9, 10 through 13 reveals the real issue at hand. And that is, again, as I've been bringing out, preparing us, as the text even prepares us in a subtle way, the doctrine of foreknowledge and election. And that is because of the disposition of the two brothers, as it reflects upon their attitude towards God, and God responds in, if you will, like manner. For this is a word of promise: at this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also. That would be Isaac. Then Isaac's wife, Rebekah. when she had conceived twins by one man. Again, it keeps pointing back to this genetic anomaly of the Hebrew race as it is created and is sustained, maintained by God, especially within the early patriarchs. When she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. 11, for though the twins, understood, were not yet born, had they not done anything good or bad. Obviously, they're in a neutral state. As fetuses, they don't even have a soul yet. And in that regards, even in that condition, at that point in time of history of their genetic existence, their bodies as a living organism, in that regards, in order, verse 11, in order that God's purpose, according to His choice, the doctrine of election, to elect, God chooses. What He chooses under the doctrine of election are those whom He foreknew from eternity past would be positive to His plan in terms of salvation. That according to His choice might stand, not because of works, but because of Him who calls. The choosing occurs in eternity past. The calling occurs in time under the doctrine of election and calling. Wherever a God knows that, knew that positive election would exist, He determined sovereignly that these would have opportunity to hear the gospel message so that they could exercise that choice to believe, obviously, for salvation. And it's based on that principle, spiritual principle, is why the attitude then prevails in regards to God towards the two sons. In verse 12, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. And that means that Jacob and his people would ultimately dominate and rule over the others, which Israel obviously rules over all nations, beginning the millennium. And verse 13, just as it is written, which is reference to our conferring verses, Malachi 1, 2, and 3, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. You know, people say God's one big ball of love. Well, what do you do with this? What do you do with this verse? Well, God couldn't hate anybody. Oh, really? Well, it sure looks like He hates Esau according to this and according to the prophet Malachi. So you're going to call Paul a liar, Malachi both a liar? No. Obviously, it is language of accommodation. God rejects Esau and what he will be spiritually in regards to his life as if it having any part in regards to the propagation of the covenant promises in terms of the line of Messiah and the Hebrew race, and then as it reflects upon his spiritual principles associated with it under the salvation adjustment to the justice of God in that regards. So God knew how they were going to turn out to be. And therefore, he orchestrates a test for Rebekah and Isaac along these lines, while the boys are still in the womb of their mother without a soul. And it is the issue of faith, positive volition, versus negative volition, which is the very issue of the angelic conflict, that is preeminent in regards to the whole situation at hand. And then all that is kind of, if you almost pictured in regards to their appearance and the whole aspect of the birth, et cetera, et cetera. So 97, under the doctrine of election, Jacob was chosen by God as heir to the covenant because he was a positive believer. And Esau rejected salvation as depicted in his contempt of birthright by trading it for a bowl of stew, which is the next section of narrative that we will deal with. As he says, behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is the birthright to me? in the end of verse 34, he held his birthright in contempt. He despised his birthright. And that is extreme strong language in regards to his very attitude towards the plan of salvation and the blessing that God has in store for those who come under saving faith in that regards. 98, God via his foreknowledge already knew what the boys' souls would be before they were placed in their bodies at birth, and demonstrated the conflict between their positive and negative volition in their mother's womb via the fetal struggles. Our war is not a physical war, it is a spiritual war. And that spiritual warfare is a conflict between positive and negative volition. That's where our conflict, as peoples generally, people around us arises, and those in their attitude in regards to God and Bible doctrine. Now this test of conflict, as it originates during Rebecca's pregnancy, this test of conflict will remain upon Rebecca's shoulders as she embraces Jacob as a favored son and a right man embraces Esau. And I put that point down. I recalled that the many mentions of that part of Rebecca's anatomy when she was met by the servant at the well. So I put that in parentheses here. Ironically, her shoulders is part of her anatomy previously highlighted in 24 in verses 14, 15, 45, and 46. So metaphorically, now it comes to place because there's a shoulder of the water jar on her shoulders. That's how she carried it carried that burden. And now metaphorically, you have this burden that's now going to be placed upon her, maintained on her. And that is this conflict that is going to create quite a divisive situation in regards to the household, who she's going to pick. And who her husband's going to pick as the favorite of the sons, what greater conflict, in the spiritual sense, could parents have of recognizing that one child is positive and the other child is going to be negative and remain in unbelief? That's a burden. See? And so then the choices have to be made otherwise in that regards. And that conflict, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. See. All right, so let's look at our next section here. You want to throw the lottery down the toilet? Well, Esau had been better off to do it than what he did. Esau forfeits now his birthright. We'll do verses 27 through 34 as a unit here. Looking at the Hebrew. Verse 27, when the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. While consecutive, our verb to grow up, cow in perfect third masculine plural, gadol, she G-A-D-A-L, Gadol. The boys, you had the definite article with our noun, common masculine plural. We've seen it in the past, absolute, Na'ar, N-A, N-A, A-R. That's a young man, young lads. We would age them at least around 17, somewhere in that general area. when they grew up, the young boys. Esau became a skillful hunter. You had the wow consecutive, then our verb to become is a cow. It would be imperfect. I don't have that in there. With the wow consecutive, third masculine singer, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Proper noun, Esau. And in the Hebrew, you have here that which is translated skillful hunter. First, you have the common masculine singular noun, absolute ish, I-S-H, a man, followed with a cow, participle masculine singular, absolute, yada, Y-A-D-A-A, a man knowing, hence skillful, proficient, if you will, hunting game, literally. You have the common masculine singular noun, absolute, tasayid, T-A-S-A-Y-I-D. Then a man of the field. You have our noun ish, I-S-H, repeated. Follow with our noun for field, common masculine singular absolute, sadeh. S-A-D-E-H. In contrast, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Wow conjunction, followed with the proper noun Jacob. Again, a man of is our noun ish, common masculine singular absolute. And then that which is translated peaceful is the adjective masculine singular absolute, tam, T-A-M. Literally, it means perfect or complete. Have the word tamim used of Noah in regards to his maturity. Might be understood innocent, peace, mild manner. We'll deal with that a little deeper in the analysis. He's not necessarily an outdoorsman. He's living in tents. Living in is the cow participle masculine singular absolute verb yashav. Y-A-S-H-A-B. Follow with our noun for tense, common masculine plural, absolute, ole. O-L-E-H. Verse 28. Now we have the parental affection described for each of the sons, divided. Now Isaac loved Esau. And then we're given the cause why he had a taste for game. Wow consecutive. Our verb to love is a cow, imperfect third masculine singular, ahav, A-H-A-B. Isaac, proper noun, sign of direct object, showing the object of his love being Esau. Then the cause is a conjunction key, because, K-I-Y. Then you have our noun, common masculine singular absolute, word for game, tasayid again, that we saw, hunting game, T-S-A-Y-I-D. Then you have the preposition bet, followed with the common masculine singular construct, noun with the third masculine singular suffix peh, mouth. P-E-H, because gain in his mouth. that was his desire. He wants it in his mouth. Hence had a taste for. On the other hand, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Wow, conjunction, proper noun Rebekah. And it's our same word for love, but instead of the form of the imperfect, we had the cow participle, which denotes continuous action. Ahav, cow participle, feminine singular absolute, A-H-A-B. Verse 29. And when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. wow consecutive. Then you had the hifil imperfect third masculine singular verb zied, Z-I-Y-D. Literally means caused a boil, hence cooked. When he cooked, that being Jacob. And then our word for stew here is a common masculine singular noun absolute, nazid. Zied, nazid. Boiled soup or stew, N-A-C-I-Y-D. When he had done this, wow consecutive, cow and perfect third masculine singular verb, bow, and he came, that being Esau, B-O. From the field, preposition men, followed the definite article, common masculine singular absolute noun, again, sadeh, our word for field, S-A-D-E-H. And he was famished. You have the wow conjunction, followed with the pronoun third masculine singular who for he, H-U. Emphatic, he himself, followed with the adjective, obviously predicate adjective here, masculine singular absolute, ayeth, A-Y-E-P-H. Exhausted, literally. Translated famished, wore out. Verse 30, and Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. Wow, consecutive, verb to say, cow, imperfect third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R. Esau to Jacob, preposition L. Jacob, proper noun. Let me have a swallow. Is the hifil imperative. He demands this kind of. Masculine singular with the first common singular suffix, our verb la'ath. L-A-A-T-H. Now, this verb is only used right here one time. It means to swallow greedily. To gulp it down. I would translate it, fork over to me to swallow. You're dealing with food. Fork it over. Yeah. Then you had the interjectory particle na, N-A. It could be translated now or please as in a request. And we'll deal with that. I don't see the older brother, being necessarily nice. Here, so I'm translating it now, and it went from that red stuff there. Preposition men, followed the definite article, then an adjective, masculine singular, absolute. Our word for red here is adam, A-D-A-M, where we get Adam, cognate from adam, man, from the earth or the ground. Conjunction key, because, K-I-Y, gives the reason why he wants some of that food. Famished am I, literally. Our word again, famished, adjective, masculine, singular, absolute, ayef, A-Y. A-Y-E-P-H. Follow with the pronoun, first common singular, Anoki. I myself, obviously, emphatic. A-N-O-K-I-Y. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Therefore, it's a preposition all, A-L, plus the adverb kin. Upon thus, or therefore, And then in the Hebrew, our verb to call is a cow perfect third masculine singular, kara, literally, therefore he called. Q-A-R-A. His name, our noun for name, common masculine singular, construct third masculine singular, suffix here is shem, it's H-E-M. Proper noun, Edom, Edom, E-D-O-M. So Jacob takes advantage of the situation. You see the sibling rivalry here just oozes out. At verse 31, but Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. If you're that hungry, what do you do for it? What will you give up for it? Wow, consecutive. Our verb to say, amar. A-M-A-R. Cow, perfect. I didn't put it in there. Third masculine singular. And he said, Jacob, proper noun. Our verb to sell is the cow, imperative, masculine singular, makar, M-A-K-A-R. Our word translated first in the Hebrew is your preposition kaf, that letter, backwards C. Follow with the definite article in common masculine singular noun absolute, yom, our word for day, Y-O-M. At the day. Sign of direct object. This day, basically, is the idea now. Before the day's over. Then the common feminine singular construct noun, our word for birthright, with the second masculine singular suffix is bekorah. B-E-K-O-R-A-H. To me, preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix. Verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is the birthright to me? If I'm dead, I don't need anything. If I die, you know, no big thing. The exaggeration of the SGA, the disdain for anything of true value in life comes out here. Yeah, the wow consecutive, our verb to say again, amar, cow, imperfect, third masculine singular, proper noun, Esau. You have the interjectory particle, behold, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H, to draw attention. Alas, you know, be another way you could do it. I myself, you have the pronoun, first common singular, Anoki, emphatic, to draw emphasis on this person, A-N-O-K-I-Y. About to die is the cow participle, matching singular, absolute, our verb halak, H-A-L-A-K, literally to walk. To death. I'm on my path to death, basically. Going to death. Preposition lamed. Then our verb to die here is a cow infinitive verb construct muth. I am walking to die. Dead man walking. M-U-T-H. Then you have the wow conjunction, and, translated so, follow with the interrogative particle, lama, L-A-M-M-A-H, for what, question mark. Follow with the adjective, masculine singular, ze, this. What is this? Z-E-H. For what is such a thing? To me, preposition lamed, first common singular suffix, a birthright. What real value is it to me, the idea? Bakora, repeated, common feminine singular, absolute. verse 33. And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. A sad day in the history of mankind. Wow, consecutive. To say, our Cal Perfect Amar, Third Medicine Singer, Jacob, he responds back to Esau in spite of Esau's innuendos that he didn't care. Jacob wants a guarantee. First swear to me, you had our verb to swear here is our verb we've seen in the past here, the Niphal, where you get the number 7. Imperative Master Singer, Shebeh, Sheba. To me, preposition Lamed with the first common singer suffix. Again, first is on the day or at the day. Today before another time, hence first. Definite article with the noun yom. Y-O-M, common masculine singer absolute. And while consecutive, he swore Sheva, repeated with respect to Esau, being the subject of the verb to swear here, to him, preposition Lamed, third masculine singer suffix, and sold, while consecutive, our verb to sell again, Cal Perfect, third masculine singer, Makar, M-A-K-A-R, sign a direct object, then his birthright, Bekorah, our word used again, here with the third masculine singer suffix, to Jacob, preposition Lamed, proper noun, Jacob. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, or bean soup, and he ate and drank, and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Wow, conjunction, proper noun, Jacob, our verb to give, Cal, perfect third masculine singer, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, to Esau, preposition Lamed, proper noun, Esau, our word for bread is common masculine singer, absolute noun, Lechem, L-E-C-H-E-M, wow, conjunction, then the common masculine singer noun construct, Nazid, the boiled food, if you will. N-A-Z-I-Y-D, the boiled food of, and then we're told what the contents were. common masculine plural absolute noun, our noun, Adashah, lentil, which is a bean. A-D-A-S-H-A-H. And he ate. Well, we have a series of actions now that follows. While consecutive, with the Cal imperfect third masculine singer verb, a call to eat, A-K-A-L, consumed, ate, and he drank, while consecutive, Cal imperfect third masculine singer, Shatha, S-H-A-T-H-A-H, and he arose, he had the while consecutive, it's not twice, just once. Followed with the Cal imperfect third masculine singer, our verb cum, Q-U-M, and went on his way, while consecutive, then our verb to walk, Cal imperfect third masculine singer, halak, H-A-L-A-K, train his path of life, really. Then the narrative's notation, the author's notation, thus Esau despised his birthright. You had the wow consecutive, and this is all connected with the wow. So it's a sequence of actions and then attitude, basically. Our verb to despise is the Cal imperfect third masculine singer, bazah, B-A-Z-A-H. To despise, disdain, held in contempt. Proper noun Esau, sign of direct object followed with the definite article, what he despised is his birthright. Again, common feminine singular absolute, the Korah. And you have the end of paragraph, Samak, in the Hebrew text. Rereading the verses. When the boys grew up, verse 27, Esau became proficient in hunting game, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful, complete, perfect, innocent man living in tents, domestic. Verse 28, now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Same verb used, different actions. One's imperfect, the other is participle. Verse 29, when Jacob had boiled soup, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, now fork it over to me. Swallow that red stuff. For I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. Verse 31, but Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. Verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. I'm walking to death. So what a use then is the birthright to me? Verse 33, and Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil soup. And he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. And Esau despised his birthright. So the analysis, verses 27 through 34, get a little jump on it. One, as different as the twins were in appearance, so in their character and lifestyle. Quote, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man in the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Esahaya ish yada desayid ish sadeh wa yakol ish tam yashab ola. Ole! Two, as they grew up, our Hebrew term gadol, the boys, our term na'ar, took on opposing styles of living, even though they were both raised in the same environment. Now, there is a lot of hoopla made in cosmic circles, social circles, in regards to the impact of environment and people's choices in life. While we would not disregard or disagree in regards to environment having influence, it is not the end-all be-all of why people end up being what they are. And here you have two sons, same set of parents, the same setting where they're living, and they grow up to be two completely different individuals in regards to their pursuits in life, their ideology, etc., etc. So as much as people want to blame the social environment and settings in regards to people's failures in life, Bible doctrine says that's a crock. There's evidence of people that lived in slums that rose out of the slums because they were industrious, because they pursued something over and beyond what they were otherwise living in to begin with. What's your excuse for them? If they can do it, others can do it. We live in a society that is constantly seeking to find excuses to promote in an agenda to tear down individualism and the self-motivation of will in regards to people, and place a burden on society as a whole to excuse people's misdeeds, failures, and other fallacious approaches to life upon the society itself, so that one can control, certain ones can control people overall. In this regards, these bleeding heart liberal types are the ones that will blame you or another person for what another person is overall. Yes, you can teach people certain habits and actions in life. But that does not ultimately mean that they have to conform and maintain what they've been taught. People may come out of non-religious backgrounds and later on in life shuck all their ideology and accept, you know, religion and things of this nature otherwise. So, as great as maybe some benefits may seem in regards to our society and their social welfare programs, most of it is nothing more than people robbing other people to support people and excuse them and give excuses for their approaches and hostile, often, approaches to life. Now, all this crap you see in regards to people, why they murdered people. Well, look at their backgrounds. They were abused as a kid. So, that gives them a right? Well, no, but it kind of helps. No, it doesn't. They're idiots. They are certain STA types that I don't care if they're 12. They kill somebody. You're old enough to kill somebody. You execute them. See? Follow the law. But no, our society is not going to do that. So, you know, obviously, it's not hard to get on a soapbox over this living in Babylon. Babylon is taking the principles of Bible doctrine, which the paradox is not to be missed, that this country was founded on in a great way, but yet in another way, it was disregarded in some very important fields. And this all in the disguise of freedom, of what was declared, determined to be true freedom. And that true freedom is to embrace anything that you want to embrace. No, that's not true freedom. True freedom is embracing righteousness. That's true freedom. See, we know this from doctrine. But anyway, a country that is founded on biblical principles otherwise, and now all this being put into the garbage mess of human viewpoint of our society and jumbled all up so it's unrecognizable. What is wrong is right. What is right is wrong. And giving people more excuses based on the philosophy of socialism to do what they want to do. And some of the stuff you're hearing today, you go, how can people in their right minds embrace this? I heard a college that the students voted that everybody can refer to their gender as either he or she, depending on what they choose. So when you talk to them, according to the policies of the college, if it's a female and she wants to be referred to as he, you need to refer to him as he, or else you're in violation of basically of the policies of the college. Now, you know, I know it's hard to understand for some people. But what differentiates male from female sex is what's between your legs. And I'm being mildly, not too harsh on that. That's what makes a difference. Where does all this come from? Environment. Environment sets up certain aspects for people that want to go with the flow, to adopt it and fall in step in regards to the masses, etc., etc. But it's not environment that determines whether or not our country is truly screwed up. It's not that. It's the negative volition and the human viewpoint behind setting up the details of the environment et cetera, et cetera, that makes it that way. So, wow, where'd that come from? I don't know. Jacob and Esau, it's a conflict. It's the conflict. Sometimes you just got to pause and think about where we're at in history as a church, as believers, and where we live, and all the doctrine that we've heard over the years. All this is coming to play in unbelievable 4K high definition 3D pictures. It is truly amazing how screwed up Satan's world can get. All the centuries that, and millennium that went has gone between the time of Noah and the infiltration of the demons into the human race and the evil that was so pervasive on this planet. We're seeing this being duplicated in no uncertain terms right before our very eyes. So if there's anything that makes you want to get out, Maranatha, it's looking at all this as it may invoke the sensitivity of righteousness in terms of anger and things of this nature. All right, well, I'll leave you with that. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.